sports scene today.
Hi, this is Evander Holyfield, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Randy's on the sports scene. He's working all the time. Brings you all the scores you need, so get him on the line. Pick up the phone and call him now and say what's on your mind. They should pay him double, cause he's working overtime.
Evander Holyfield.
Jim Palmer.
Tony Fernandez. Hardy Nickerson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Randy.
This is Dale Murphy.
My two men, Randy Sepp.
Ray Nitschke.
Chris Evert.
George Foreman. And I'm talking sports with Randy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Randy Harris. I don't think he believes it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's very important you don't stink today.
The Macho Man Randy Savage, and when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
Hope everybody is having a great afternoon today, January 15th of the new year. This is Weggs here in studio. Randy is going up to the cold. He's shipping up to Boston for UFC Fight Night 81. This weekend, featuring champion TJ Dillashaw versus Dominic Cruz. So while he's dealing with the cold and the snow, we're trying to stay dry and dodging raindrops down here in lovely Florida. So lots to get to. I think it's pretty obvious what the biggest news is, or maybe it's not the biggest news. It was sort of a foregone conclusion. I think everybody was already expecting to hear the announcement that's going to be taking place in roughly 57 minutes and change, that offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter will be named as the head ball coach here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucks went ahead, did their due diligence, sort of. They satisfied the Rooney Rule. They interviewed some people, but again, pretty much a foregone conclusion from the beginning. Dirk Cutter is going to be named officially the head coach for the Buccaneers. And Ed, let me ask you this question. Again, this was something that we all expected, but does it really matter to have a decision like this made immediately after the end of the season, or does that provide any sort of advantage for the players, for the coaching staff, to do it now as opposed to if, for whatever reason, they had waited some time before training camp started? Good talk, Ed. I think that
I'm sorry, buddy. I was loading commercials.
No worries. Did you hear the question?
No, but go ahead.
Okay, so basically, the question was, do you feel that it really matters whether or not they make a decision for their new coach immediately after the season has ended, or is there any sort of advantage doing that over waiting a couple weeks or even right before training camp?
Well, it depends on who you want to go after. If there's guys specifically, you want to grab them before anybody else does.
Well, yeah, fair enough. But in general, not even in this specific situation, because obviously we were talking a lot about, especially last week, the cause of why Lovey was let go and trying to make sure that the Bucks kept Coach Cutter, as opposed to either naming somebody else the head coach or at least run the risk of losing an offensive coordinator that, let's be honest, has been one of the best things to happen to the Buccaneers offense in quite some time, especially from the coaching aspect.
Well, for all we know, that this might have been the only head coaching job he really was offered, to tell you the truth.
True, yeah. I mean, would it have made sense, though, to move laterally if he had gone from one team to another and stayed in the same position?
You can't do that.
Yeah, especially if it was
under contract
one season. So, yeah, I mean, if there had been other teams that were coming to him, one would assume that they were offering head coaching jobs, right?
Yeah, well, they interviewed. They didn't offer. They just interviewed. No, I didn't. I don't think he got actually got an offer.
Okay. So I mean, if let's say just let's take Coach Cutter out of this altogether, and you have the difference of naming a head coach, a new head coach immediately after the season, or waiting until a couple weeks before training camp starts. Especially since they're not able to do anything with players until training camp or OTAs, stuff like that happens. Really, to me, I don't see a big difference in timing. As long as everybody else is already good to go. Obviously, if there's a lot of changes that you expect to happen, or if you name a new head coach and he wants to make changes to the coaching staff, then I can imagine earlier is better, because then, getting back to your point, being able to go shop around and try to acquire the staff he wants to put around him for the upcoming season. But it's going to be interesting to see how this offseason goes, what sort of free agency moves we expect to see, especially now with Cutter being more involved in that process, along with GM Jason Light. So, again, something you brought up multiple times was the utilization of Doug Martin and how he was able to succeed the way he did in spite of his lack of attempts in the second half. Let's go under the assumption and say that that was a decision that Lovie Smith was making to keep him being utilized. Now that Dirk is in charge, we expect to see a lot more rushes for Doug Martin. Obviously, it's going to depend on how he does during the season, make sure nobody gets injured. Depends on how the rest of the depth chart is doing. But we could be seeing a lot more productivity from the running game, which I would have to imagine just sets up Jameis even better, making this a significantly more potent offense, and to be able to take Jameis to that next level, take the running game to the next level, and the offense as a whole, and hopefully the team as a whole, to the next level. What sort of offseason changes need to be made on the offense, and what sort of holes need to be plugged on the defense? Because really, for the offense, they were fifth in the league this season in total yards. That's the best that they've ever done in their history, their 40-year history. What sort of stuff that we need to see to either improve the offense, or are they going to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and really focus between free agency and the draft on defense?
Well, first off, on offense, there's still a question now with wide receiver. I mean, I don't know what Vincent Jackson, there was some kind of, I read something, it could be a career-ending injury with him. And then you got Mike Evans was throwing a tantrum at the end of the year. So through the draft, I think they have to find a really speedy wide receiver first. And defense, like you said.
Yeah, defense was shaky, to say the least. And even though early on the offense wasn't the best, obviously we have seen the growth that took us through the season on the offensive side of the ball. And it's kind of interesting to see how the evolution of the franchise has gone. Obviously, there were offensive standouts back in 2002, but a lot of the hard-hitting defense that we had come to know and love, it had been there, and then it dwindled a little bit, and then defense was sort of a thing we got to get used to, but now again it has pulled back and not the strongest suit for the Buccaneers themselves. It's going to be interesting to see how much change is going to occur, and now we have to see what's going to happen for the coordinator positions, because obviously now we have to get an Oko and a Deco. And I'm really liking the potential. And I almost am hesitant to use that word. Another word is expectation. Gerald McCoy used that, I think, two seasons ago, and I keep on remembering this quote of his in the off season. It was during the training camp, and he was saying, "There's a lot of expectations on this team, but now we have to live up to them." And it's like we are seeing so many big moves, so many of what we would hope and think to be the right moves, but to be able to make those moves matter on the field is a completely different thing. Having your no name or less known guys stepping up helps out, and then you have to try to avoid as many of the flops with your big name signings for the free agency, the big name draftees from the draft, and I'm really looking forward to seeing over the next couple weeks who the coordinators will shake out to be, what their histories have been, and where we expect the moves to happen, and what sort of expectations, that word again, will come from those moves. So obviously a lot going on over at One Buck. Again, it is 1:11 right now. 2:00 is the press conference over at One Buck to officially announce the new head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, Dirk Cutter. For those of you who are like me and like stats, you look at what we have seen this last season. Arguably, this was Coach Cutter's best performance in a first season with a new team, at least in the NFL, because he was first with Jacksonville, and while he was there, his first season there, the team set franchise records for both points at 25.7 per game and yards at 357 a game, and that was a postseason berth season for them. So that was obviously a big thing to do with a young team. He then moves over to Atlanta in 2012. His first season over there, they were 13-3 with a top seed in the playoffs. Ryan was a Pro Bowler. He also set a franchise record in passing yards with 4,719, completion percentage at 68.6, and then passing touchdowns at 32. So really, really good showing there. And then obviously we saw this last season coming in, grooming Winston, taking him through that growth from college to pro. And Jameis became the third rookie in NFL history to pass for over 4,000 yards. And that's the second highest single season total in franchise history. And then he had 28 total touchdowns, 22 passing, 6 rushing. So you look at a lot of the stats and you see that consistency of having a really big impact right away. Big question is, how much of a transition, how much difference will there be between offensive coordinator and head coach for him? How does he ease into, or is this something that you don't ease into? Is it something that you have to say, okay, there's going to be a lot different, I have to take in a lot more information, or I have to a lot more responsibility, so I have to step up to the plate and be able to handle all of this in a certain way? Or what is his transition style going to be so that he can continue to have a big impact in his second season with the franchise, and obviously not only his first head coaching year for the Bucks, but his first year as a head coach ever in the NFL. He was a head coach in college for about 10 years, but this is going to be obviously a huge difference trying to deal with the personalities and responsibilities that a head coach in the NFL will have to deal with. So obviously, very Bucks heavy. I'm sure we'll get more.
I think I think I don't think he's going to turn over the duties completely of the offense. I think he'll hire an assistant to basically, you know, run the same system that they had, and you know everybody will be familiar with it, and he'll slide a little more to the head coaching job. But I think he'll still have at least one hand in the offense. It's something that's, you know, you hear a lot of people say. First thing people ask me out of the area about, you know, the firing of Lovie Smith. Did he deserve another year? Was it unjust, you know, unfair to do what he did, you know, for the Glazers to let him go? Well, take a look at today. Chip Kelly was fired. Mm-hmm. He already has a job.
Right.
Back in the NFL. Right. Tom Coughlin was fired. He's been interviewed and close to having another job. And nobody's talking about Lovie Smith.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
So were the Bucks right? You know, and listen, you know, Chip Kelly, I mean, he could have sat on his rear end for, what, 2 years and collected, you know, a couple of, I think, $10 million or close to that, exactly what Lovie's going to do.
Yeah, that's what Lovie's going to be doing as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, but, you know, the Eagles and Jeff Lurie, and he's lucked out because, you know, basically, you know, Chip Kelly gets another job, he doesn't have to pay that salary now. But, you know, people say, don't feel sorry for Lovie Smith. I mean, yeah, your ego takes a hit getting canned. But he's sitting home counting $10 million for the next couple of years. So
assuming he doesn't go somewhere else and be a coach.
Exactly, but I haven't heard his name mentioned anywhere. Anywhere.
Yeah, and that might be something that he's a conscious decision on his part. He's not putting his resume out there and actively looking.
Well, there's
$10 million.
Yeah, but you don't have to look. I mean, John Gruden doesn't look, and his name is pops sure. up every year.
Are you comparing John Gruden to Lovie Smith?
No,
right?
No, okay. I'm just saying. you're saying, well, maybe he's not putting his resume out there. Well, yeah, John Gruden doesn't, and Bill Cowher's not putting his resume out there. But every year, as soon as the process starts, those are the first two names that come up.
The difference is, though, they already have those jobs. They have cush jobs already anyway. Lovie, as far as I know, doesn't have a gig set up. So in my mind, again, he can sit there and count his $10 million.
That's a pretty good gig.
And then, yeah, that takes work. That takes time and effort, and he has to plan out his day.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do hundreds from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. He's going to take an hour for lunch, move on down the currency denominations.
Mm-hmm.
No, they have those jobs that are keeping them otherwise occupied for a decent amount of money as well. So, yes, this is, in, as you said, his job for the time being. But at some point in time, I'm sure sitting on his couch is going to get old. I mean, people who retire who aren't making $10 million a year, they have to find something to do with their time. And given Lovie Smith, just the personality that comes with being in football and being a head coach, and especially since he's not in necessarily the twilight of his years, he can still go to work and look for a job. So eventually I think he will start to pound the pavement a little bit, send out his resume, try to be a coordinator somewhere, maybe be a head coach again. Maybe he'll have to ease back up into that, be a coordinator first. But yes, you're right. We're not hearing about Lovie or anybody talking to him. I think that's I won't say it won't be short-lived, or it will be short-lived, but I think that he will be coaching sooner rather than later.
Maybe. But, I mean, when he was fired from Chicago, he didn't get any offers after that. You know, the Bucks were the only ones that offered him a job, I think, 2 years ago.
It'll take some time, but I have a feeling that we have not seen the last of Lovie Smith in the NFL. But that said, we have seen the last of this first segment. Let's go ahead, pay some bills, and we'll see you on the other side of the break. This is Talking Sports.
Lots of walk around the world too. troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
PostShare is the first mobile application that lets you post and share real-time content socially. Track the views and get rewarded for it. With an easy posting process, it's time you, the user, get rewarded for your posts. Download for free from the App Store and Google Play.
At Tour de Pizza, we pride ourselves on making delicious, healthy food at an affordable price. Signature pizzas, fresh salads, hearty subs, and calzones. Tour de Pizza has it all and offers dine-in, carry-out, and delivery service. Tour de Pizza is located on 4th Street in St. Petersburg. So give them a call today, 727-895-5555. 727-895-5555. You'll be glad you did.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Check out our friends at West Chase Golf Club, just north of the airport off the Veteran Expressway, for a beautiful and challenging course. I've been out there many times and the greens are great. Quiet, upscale, but very public, West Chase is consistently ranked in the top 10 nationally and number one in the state of Florida for customer service by the National Golf Foundation. Ask about the Advantage Card, just $25 for Florida residents, and you'll get up to 40% off your greens fees, free use of the GPS system, and a bunch more. Log on to westchasegc.com for more. West Chase Golf Club. It's not private. You'll just think it is.
Hey, Randy Regime, this is Wegs with Talking Sports, and if you know Randy, you know he isn't exactly what you'd call a gym-goer. That's where Kinetics Health Club at the corner of 49th Street and Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park comes in. Kinetics is a family-friendly fitness center with group fitness, personal training, free weights, cardio equipment, and a spin room. Kinetics is a first-class gym with awesome equipment and a very knowledgeable staff. So first class, even Randy trains there with his trainer, Scott. Call Scott at 727-827-7979 for the latest details and promotions. Again, that's Kinetics Health Club at 7670 49th Street North in Pinellas Park.
Got split ends? Thanks to Mick Verheer at Got Split End Salon, the whole Talking Sports team can say,
we look marvelous. Fabulous.
Split End Salon is a family hair salon with affordable prices and conveniently located at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park. Sarah, the colorist and style director, can do it all. And if Mick can make me look good, then you know he's a miracle worker. So give Got Split Ends a call today at 727-481-8605.
Holy Hog, the best barbecue in Tampa Bay. Winner of the 2013, 14, and 15 Best of the Bay. Holy Hog, the 2014 and 15 Mayor's Mac and Cheese Throwdown Champs as well. Holy Hog has four convenient locations on Armenia, Henderson, Carrollwood, and downtown Tampa. Also two locations in Amalie Arena. Holy Hog can cater any size event, and the fall catering includes smoked hams and turkeys. So why cook during the holidays? Fresh smoked southern barbecue and homemade sides. Your hometown smokehouse, it's Holy Hog.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Keenan McCardell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Hey, welcome back. Listening in, everybody here.
Can you hear me? Am I good?
Hey. You know, we ran the StaffZone commercial.
I know, I heard it. I was just getting ready to pull into the lair, the bunker.
Yeah.
And I heard the StaffZone way.
Yeah.
That's right.
So welcome to the program, our resident StaffZone representative.
Correspondent.
Yeah.
I'm here. I figured I'd give you some help today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The old assist.
Yeah, why not?
I'm sure you had a chance to at least hear about it. I don't know if you had some time to go over any of the reporting from it, but did you see, hear, talk about the council, the St. Pete City Council vote that happened yesterday that is now allowing the Tampa Bay Rays to search for other locations in Pinellas and Hillsborough counties?
I did see it. The basics on it. I think it was like a 5-1 or
5-3.
5-3.
We,
vote.
So I'm not sure what that means now.
Mm-hmm.
For the St. Petersburg area. Driving in, I saw a nice piece of land that a stadium could be put at.
Okay.
Thinking logistically, how would they do it? The only difference is, or not even difference, it's 3 miles, 4 miles from the current site.
Yeah.
So what does that change?
Well, a lot of the complaints are like not only with the stadium itself, but the location and like parking. Now,
there's plenty of parking. It's just, do you want to pay $25 to park? You're still going to have to pay $25 to park at this one too.
But people are saying that you're parking in a bad part of town too.
If you don't park in the main lot, but how many stadiums have you been to where you're parking in not a good part of town?
Yeah.
The Marlins have a parking garage that have gates on it now, from what I've seen, mm-hmm. because it's a bad part of town.
I have been to the Oakland Coliseum.
If you don't park, anything in Oakland's a bad part of town.
Oakland is a bad part of town.
But look, going across the bay, if you go to San Francisco, the stadium's on the water. I haven't been to a game there. I've been to the stadium. I don't think there's any parking.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of San Francisco. Good luck finding parking. Bad part of town probably means that you have some more land. You can build a bigger stadium, a nicer stadium. They have
cheaper.
For cheaper.
Yeah. And
no one's using it.
Yeah, and talking about the prices, if the Rays are able to break their lease, if they leave, they will have to pay from now until 2027, which is the lifetime of the remaining lifetime of the lease. They have to pay equal payments towards their $24 million that's left on the lease. So
they owe $24
million? Yes.
That's what's owed. Okay.
Between 2016 and 2027, 9 years. So do the math. That's like not much.
Yeah, just cut payroll by that much, and there you go. You're still spending the same amount.
Yeah, but if they're cutting their payroll by that much
each year. Say it's $2
million? Yeah.
So you just don't spend that $2 million. There you go. Raise ticket prices.
Yeah, but that $2 million is like four players.
I was going to say like six.
But another big issue that...
Where would you put the stadium? That's the question. Where, if it was you, Weggs, Alex Weghorn, Tristan Alexander Weghorn, Fit Physique, whatever you're going by today.
My alias.
Where would you put the stadium?
Oh, my goodness.
What makes the most sense to you?
Is there enough room in the Carillon area?
The North Carolina area, is that what you said?
Carillon.
Oh, Carillon. Oh, I was thinking Charlotte.
Well, and that was going to be my next point, is what your dad has been saying. Randy's been saying that if you allow them to break the lease, if you allow them to look, then that was not going to keep them from looking outside of the Tampa Bay area. That's something that Stu Sternberg and the team has said that they're going to do. They're only going to be looking in the local area, but technically speaking, they are not limited to that.
No, they can go anywhere.
So that's another real possibility. I personally don't think that that's going to be the case. I think that what the team is saying, what the ownership is saying, is yes, they do want to stay in this area. MLB has given their 100% support behind Stu Sternberg to make sure that the loyalty to the area and to the fans is going to ring true, and they're just trying to provide a better experience for the fans and the area. But that's another thing that you have to think, is the alternate locations.
And Charlotte just built a $54 million AAA stadium in downtown Charlotte. So I doubt that would be...
That's not an option.
A realistic option.
Right, yeah, but Vegas has been brought up, right?
Vegas, San Antonio.
Oh, we need to talk about San Antonio. Thank you for reminding me. That reminds me of something.
Okay. Another tangent.
Yeah, completely not related to this.
They
topic
could play
at all.
There, though. I mean, they get just as many fans now as the stadium holds.
Yeah, but if you move, okay, let's say they move to Charlotte and they play in this $54 million stadium, right? AAA, will they have a better support? A better fan base in Charlotte than here.
You'll have the first couple of years with people being excited because it's a big league team. But after that, I mean, the city really hasn't been that up on the sports. I mean, I don't think the Hornets have sold well, being that they're awful.
Yeah, but something like the Panthers, and obviously right now I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but neither of us actually think that Charlotte is a viable option, correct?
I would say it's not.
I would say it's not as well. But you also have to look at the other teams. Yes, the Hornets are awful. Yes, the Panthers are unstoppable. And they're playing Seattle in the playoffs. They have the division playoff game. I don't know. You have to look at the other sports available. And that's one thing you run into with Las Vegas. There are no other teams in Las Vegas, so they would have the monopoly on sports in the sense that that's the only place, only team to go to. You have UNLV, who has teams not that great, but then you also have the sports betting that happens in Vegas.
They are just finishing, you know, a multi-million dollar arena in the hopes of luring an NHL team.
What, the T-Mobile?
T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah.
It's going to be up and running, I believe, April.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to go, where a baseball stadium would take 3 years to build. So the team that would go there first, I would imagine, would be an NHL team and not an MLB team.
Right.
Going to Vegas. The other thing you have to think, if the Rays move to Vegas, how would that affect the divisions? You know, obviously they would come out of the East.
Right.
Who would you put in the East to replace them?
Houston.
You put Houston in the East. There you go. Put Houston in the East. And, Houston's in the West now, correct?
Right. Yeah.
In the West.
So then you flip-flop them. East and West. Boom.
Or Texas. Houston just moved.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And obviously, technically, they wouldn't be actually moving the teams themselves. This is just on paper.
Yeah. But it affects games.
It does. Who plays who? Whom?
19 times.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll affect the schedule. I think that's really the biggest thing.
Can you imagine
though,
if the Rays played the Angels 19 times, the Rangers, and or...
The Athletics.
Athletics and... I was saying and or for the Houston Astros. Significantly easier, I think.
Well, yeah, obviously. You're not playing the Yankees or the Red Sox. Or Toronto. Toronto.
The Yankees and Red Sox, though, when it comes to just spending how they want, the Angels and the Rangers have done that in the last 5 years.
Sure.
They've spent how they want. Now you're looking at Oakland, who really won't, and Houston doesn't spend, but they built through the draft, kind of like what the Rays try to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been really lucky.
Yeah, they really have. It has been lucky. Real quick, I do want to make a quick side note, sticking with the Rays. I guess the Rays and Jennings, Rays and Desmond Jennings are avoiding arbitration since Jennings accepted a $3.3 million offer from the club. So, the deal was reached prior to Friday's 1 p.m. arbitration salary exchange deadline. So, Desmond is staying. That's a plus. You brought up San Antonio earlier. Did you hear this little tidbit? Something about the Vikings owner said that he would be more than willing to buy the Raiders and move them to San Antonio.
Really?
Yeah.
They'd have to build a stadium as well.
Well, they would have to build a stadium. They're already in talks with LA to have a dual use stadium with the Chargers, right?
No, that was declined.
Nope.
No, outright. Outright. The deal that went through is the Los Angeles Rams are the Los Angeles Rams.
That's done deal.
They will play 2016 and from here on out in Los Angeles. They are playing 16, 17, 18, I believe, the years, mm-hmm. in the L.A. Coliseum where USC plays.
Okay.
USC has a two-team lease with the Coliseum. So that allows the Rams to play there for the 3 to 4 years that it's going to take to build
their stadium,
the $1.7 billion stadium that Stan Kroenke, the owner of the LA Rams, is paying for himself.
Whew.
It is going to be, from what I've seen, the Hollywood Park, which used to be the horse racing track.
Yeah.
That is where they're building the new stadium, which is
plenty
also
room.
Well, it's in Inglewood, and it's going to share the same land as the Forum, which they've just redone as well. Now, the joint proposal was the Chargers and the Raiders to go to Carson, where they were going to build a multi-billion-dollar or multi-million-dollar facility.
Okay.
They declined that. They said the best option was the Rams' proposal. San Diego has exactly a year to negotiate with St. Louis to either be a tenant of this new stadium in 2019 or to be a joint owner. If that falls through, then it's on the Raiders.
Raiders will have to figure out
in 2017 now if they can become a joint owner or a tenant with the Rams, which means Oakland is going to be playing in Oakland this year. The only problem is they're homeless because I believe the lease is up in Oakland and they can't play at the Coliseum unless they renegotiate. There's your NFL update from what I remember.
You know what's strange about that whole thing out there? Has anybody seen fans in L.A. lobbying for a team in L.A.?
I saw people with the old school Rams jerseys saying welcome home.
Yeah, those 12 people. They're still alive from when the Rams were.
There's tens of us.
Yeah, the same 12 people that were alive when the Rams were last in L.A. But, you know, Anaheim. But look what, like, the Rays, what the city had to go through to try to get the Rays an expansion team and all that stuff. And look what St. Louis had to do to get the Rams to go to St. Louis. Where are all these rallies? It has nothing to do with fans out there. What people are going to go to these games? It's been in the Coliseum. The Raiders have been in the Coliseum before, and it didn't work. I mean, who are going to go to these games? Where are they going to get the fans?
The difference is, at least for the time being, this is just a temporary deal. They're not going to stay in the Coliseum.
It's the same thing, kind of, I would say, like the Cowboy Stadium. How many people, if you polled the people who go to AT&T Stadium, how many of those people are going because of the Cowboys, or how many are going because of what they built?
Of the stadium.
Just to experience it one time.
Build it and they will come.
Exactly. They make so much money off that stadium. It doesn't matter if the football team's there. They're going to do so many things at this stadium in L.A. or in Inglewood.
To make it an
event.
They were
talking about the Academy Awards are going to be moved there. I mean, this is going to be a big deal other than football. International soccer, college football games, obviously professional games, the draft, they say, would go there. The combine would move to L.A. I mean, they're moving everything.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
What had happened was we are going to hit this break because we are abysmally over. So let's go ahead and pay some bills and stick with us. Plenty more to get to between the Rays, the Lightning. We have a lot of big-time MMA news as well. So stick with us. This is Talking Sports.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'd like to welcome Tampa Arms Company to the Talking Sports and the Players Show family. Tampa Arms Company provides it all, from training classes for pistol, rifles, and shotguns, as well as the concealed carry classes, to AR-15 build classes. That's where you'll learn to build your very own AR-15, and at the end of the class, you keep the rifle. Online ordering is available with over $1 billion in firearms and accessories at TampaArmsCompany.com. Classes free trust, and products are also available at Tampa Arms Company. Check them out today at TampaArmsCompany.com. Springfield, Glock, Century Arms, Remington, Smith & Wesson, plus much, much more. And no limits of ammo. If it's in stock, buy the quantities you want. That's Tampa Arms Company.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and, of course, a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The PressBox Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
PostShare is the first mobile application that lets you post and share real-time content socially. Track the views and get rewarded for it. With an easy posting process, it's time you, the user, get rewarded for your posts. Download for free from the App Store and Google Play.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Isn't it time you felt the luxury in your massage experience without the expensive prices? Choose to invest in a healthier state of mind with Massage Lux. Visit our North Tampa location or our West Chase location opening soon to receive your first massage for only $38. Massage Lux is known for our highly trained massage therapists who focus on your needs. Plus, Massage Lux also offers facials, skincare products, and waxing services. So what are you waiting for? Experience the luxurious lifestyle you deserve at an affordable price. For more information, visit us at MassageLux.com or call 813-681-2232 to schedule your appointment today.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Holy Hog, the best barbecue in Tampa Bay. Winner of the 2013, 14, and 15 Best of the Bay. Holy Hog, the 2014 and 15 Mayor's Mac and Cheese Throwdown Champs as well. Holy Hog has four convenient locations on Armenia, Henderson, Carrollwood, and downtown Tampa. Also two locations in Amalie Arena. Holy Hog can cater any size event, and the fall catering includes smoked hams and turkeys. So why cook during the holidays? Fresh smoked southern barbecue and homemade sides. Your hometown smokehouse, it's Holy Hog.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Dane Cook, and you are on with Randy Harris.
We were talking about earlier the AL East and the teams that play within that division. You see the Orioles offered Yoenis Cespedes a deal?
No, I didn't. Yeah. What's the, do they say the
Let's
financials?
See if we can dig that up. But obviously that means, I think that means that Chris Davis is pretty much on his way out. The offer, this is according to ESPN's Jerry Krasnick, the offer likely in the 5-year, $75 to $90 million range. So, very interesting. Very interesting.
I looked up some of the other proposed events for this L.A.
Yeah.
stadium. Mm-hmm. The construction cost $2.66 billion.
Ooh, that's just the construction.
Just the construction.
Okay.
The stadium will hold a little over 70,000.
Okay.
It's going to have a theater that sits 6,000. They've already broke ground. It also will try to host the Final Four, World Cup, Olympics, Super Bowl, WrestleMania, the NFL Draft. As it will also try for award shows, the X Games, films. The NFL Network will move in. That will be their new headquarters. The Pro Bowl and the NFL Scouting Combine.
Jeez. I get it. They'd be able to do that. That's obviously a lot of events to try to bring there, and the current hosts of all those events are obviously going to not like that none too much. But my question is, will they be hosting any of the eSport championships? This is something that we were talking about right before we heard Dane Cook to bring us back into the show. ESPN, the four-letter network, is now going to be covering esports, video games.
What? There's a specific computer game that it's like League of Legends.
League of Legends.
League of Legends. That's yes. Do you know where they do their world finals or anything like
no
that?
No clue.
Let me get you some numbers real quick. So continue talking about this esport, and I'll. You said you're a stat guy, so here I'll lay some stats on you in a second.
Okay, so yes, I am a stat guy. But a lot of people are of the opinion that NASCAR isn't a sport. You don't have to be an athlete to turn left for 4 hours or however long they go. But it's really hard for me to see how people can now say that video games are considered a sport. I definitely think that NASCAR drivers or IndyCar drivers are significantly more athletic, if you will.
Why, it's not just Doritos and Mountain Dew?
Exactly. Yeah, you're not hopped up on Mountain Dew.
All right, so here you go. The International Dota 2 Tournament. So
bless
it's
you.
A computer game that they hosted at Seattle's Key Arena.
What?
With 12,000 spectators. 12,000 people paid to watch these guys play video games.
That's a raise game.
The champion.
That's a full raise game.
The team who won. Take a wild guess what they walked out with. Their check.
They get a check. Okay. So just the look that you're giving me right now and...
Or what the purse was. You can even go, I got the person, I got the...
Using context clues, I'll go with... $50,000.
$6.5 million
Shut
to the winning
up.
Team. $6.5 million with the purse of the entire tournament at $18 million. Yep, there you go.
I am
tournaments like
flabbergasted.
This. All right, so next year, which is now this year, because this is coming from the Seattle Times, we'll dish out a combined $71 million in prize money. The firm, I don't know what firm they're talking about, is expecting to have revenue pass $250 million this year, fueled by sponsorship deals, sales of merchandise, and advertising.
Now, is this something that we should, as consumers of athletics, of sports, of teams, should the city of St. Petersburg go start lobbying to sign... Video gamers?
Well, no, it's an event. It's a tournament that they host, so you don't need to lobby anything. All you need...
Why not? If you're going to bring 12,000 people to one event...
Yeah, so they go to the forum. That's all it is. They set everything up at the forum, and then they have their tournament. It's nothing... It's just a once a year or a quarterly thing that they do, and then these guys go play video games somewhere else and make money.
Okay, so what you're saying
it's
is...
It's a tournament. It's like the NCAA tournament.
It goes
to a city. It's big in Seattle, obviously, so why leave Seattle until you can prove that another city...
Go to Las Vegas. Go to New York. Oh, I hear they are putting a new stadium in L.A.
You go there. Hey, why not? If you can get 70,000 people to
pay.
Oh, my
God. Would you go to one of those?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. Let's say, off chance, you happen to get talked into going... Because you have a friend who's really into video games and...
He's into video games.
...says he really wants to go.
Do I get Doritos and Mountain Dew?
Let's say it's like a raise game and you can bring your own food and beverage.
If I had to go, yes. I'd pack my lunchbox and I'd go.
Pack your lunchbox. How much would you pay for a ticket?
I go to people's house and sit and watch them play video games and I don't bring a lunch. So, I mean... I guess I should start bringing your lunch.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. I can't believe that people spend money on watching other people to play.
It was on ESPN3 or ESPN, whatever.
The Ocho.
Yes. You could watch this go down live. Yeah?
I would do it.
You would do it?
I would watch it on TV if I was not going to the event, I wasn't paying to see it, I think that's one thing I would be able to watch on TV.
So Dota 2, the international, is what they call it.
Okay. Crazy, crazy, crazy. One thing we have yet to cover is the... They're not even rumors. They've been confirmed, and everybody's shopping it now. Jonathan Drouin, the third overall pick from the 2013 NHL draft, not too happy with his stay down here in the Tampa Bay area. He's had 89 games total with the team. He has spent some time with Syracuse. He's in Syracuse now, and he actually was sent down earlier this season, and it was the day after he was sent back to Syracuse that he requested to be traded. So I'm having a little bit of some trouble trying to figure out the thought process. Yes, he's kind of a big deal. He had been killing it in the minors. Absolutely killing it. But he has struggled a little bit with the Lightning. But he's only been in the league for now 2.5 years. He doesn't have a leg to stand on when it comes to requesting a trade.
Demanding a trade.
Yeah, fair enough. Demanding a trade.
And what can the Lightning get from? You said number 3 overall pick?
He was.
Who's been, you would say, a bust?
I don't know if I'd go that far.
They sent him to the AHL.
They did. Yeah, he has been up and down. He did have 70 games for the Lightning last season.
What position does he play?
He's a forward. He had 4 goals and 28 assists.
Okay, so he's more of a point guard than a full-blooded killer.
But then also in 19 games this season, he has 2 goals and 6 assists. So he has already half as many goals
in
20 games.
He could do with the team that's healthy. And I know they're
all... Well, now they're healthy.
They're healthy. So
they've gotten back to healthy. They've had 3 wins in a row as well. But going back to what they can get for him, I think that a lot of the potential is still there that a team who, I guess, fit his style, I guess, a little bit better could get a lot out of him. So I think that with that mindset, the Lightning and Steve Yzerman will be able to get a lot from any of the people, any of the teams that are shopping for Drouin, which apparently look like there's the Sabres, the Ducks, the Wild, the Senators, the Canadiens, but I guess the front runners right now are the Blues. So it's a matter of trying to find...
Someone wants to go to St. Louis?
Yeah, a whole team wants to leave, but you have one player who, I guess, might be going to St. Louis. But I think one of the big things we have to look back at where... The Lightning gave up a big-name scorer, an offensive threat, in Corey Konecker, who was a rookie. He was playing like a house on fire, and he was traded up to Ottawa for none other than Ben Bishop. And really, what have we heard of Konecker since then? Really not much. Bishop has now can put on his resume that he's gone to a Stanley Cup Finals.
I'm still looking at this e-gaming thing.
Yeah.
So they actually have a roster of people. They specialize in certain games. I'm sorry, we went off on a tangent. So I clicked on the first name that I saw, this Chris Loranger.
Okay.
26 years old. He's been playing for these like different teams and whatnot. Evil Geniuses out of San Francisco, California, was the world champion, $6.6 million.
Okay. This was that Dota 2 thing
that
you were talking about?
Dota 2, yeah, the international. So this guy, he grew up, it's in a troubled childhood with poverty and domestic drug and alcohol abuse and all this stuff. So he found video games in St. Petersburg, Florida.
What?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Does it say anything more about the area?
No, it doesn't.
Like?
One of our own.
Where he went to school?
On the $6.6 million video game team.
I think that the city of St. Petersburg should put together a home base for these guys.
Well, it's
bring him back home.
Well, it's just one guy. They're located in San Francisco.
Yeah, him and his team. Go ahead. We can have rallies in the streets. We can put up billboards. We can launch all sorts of ads and try to lure them out of San Francisco because there's nothing special going on in San Francisco.
They have more corporate sponsorship than I think the Rays do.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so like 7 or 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whew. The team?
Yeah. SanDisk or SanDisk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a sponsor. Monster Energy. Kingston Technology.
Gotta keep them going.
Yeah.
Wow.
They specialize in fighting games, League of Legends, World of Warcraft, Halo.
Gotcha.
There's a sniper specialist.
Everybody has
their
role.
They need a camper. I could do that.
You can. You're a professional camper.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say, is there a specific game that they compete at? Or no?
Yeah. It gives the roster. Like this Chris guy is a StarCraft II Legacy of the Void specialist. And then they have their Dota 2 team and their fighting game team and Super Smash Brothers.
Super
Smash Brothers. The Halo team. And it has their online names. So if you're ever playing these games, you...
And you're getting absolutely worked like a job.
Yeah.
That's
obviously they don't have jobs.
No, they do.
Well, apparently they do have jobs and they do it very well to the tune of $6.6 million a check.
One tournament, yeah.
Whew. Well, good for them.
Professional gamers.
Professional gaming. Here we go.
I am obviously in the wrong business.
Oh, I got the physique for it.
Yeah, really? Strong thumbs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hand-eye coordination, though. Hand-eye. Wow. It's all about the hand-eye. Well, this has certainly digressed in the last couple.
Is this not fascinating, though?
Honestly, it kind of is. You talk about the evolution of sports as a whole, and you talk about the beginnings of competition. I mean, we had the Olympic sports. That's what we started at. And then now we have gotten into paying these gigantic prices for individuals, for teams. It's a gigantic industry for the athletic, the difference between somebody who's athletic versus somebody who's not athletic and how you tell whether or not somebody's an athlete or not. And now we've gotten to the point where these guys are making millions of dollars for one day's worth of work, sitting in a chair, looking at a screen, playing a game.
With their joystick.
Playing with their joystick. And
it's a keyboard and a joystick.
And that's it. And a screen.
And a screen. And a headset.
So that is what sports have come to, apparently.
And they beat the Chinese team.
2 minutes. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. Only a couple minutes left. We have playoff football.
Playoff football. Did you see real quick that Adam Pac-Man Jones needs to apologize to Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers? I'll make it real quick. Adam Pac-Man Jones said that Antonio Brown was faking the concussion, that he winked at him on the field, that he wasn't hurt, and he would apologize if Antonio Brown does not play this Sunday.
And Antonio Brown is out for the game. Well, I guess there you have it. He has to apologize. According to him.
According to him.
Again, Pittsburgh at Denver this weekend. Who do you have?
I'm going with Pittsburgh.
I am going with Pittsburgh as well. Also in the AFC, we have Kansas City at New England.
Is Chandler Jones playing? I'm going with the Patriots.
I'm going with the Patriots as well. We talked about Seattle, Carolina earlier.
Seattle.
I have Carolina. I take Carolina at home in that game. Green Bay at Arizona.
Arizona.
I take Arizona as well. With that, everybody, hope you had a great week. We'll keep ourselves honest with our picks. We'll see who's winning after next week. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Stay dry. And let's hope Hurricane Alex doesn't come and take us away. So
mess things up.
Yeah. Alex, man, I tell you what, he's a bad dude. Don't mess with him. Anyway, follow us on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
Sean K. Radio.
At KO Wags. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Bye.